Welcome to the Life Talk Show, sharing ideas for meaning, joy, and success with Randy Kay, Diana Hall, and Nikki Tombolides. Our mission is to initiate conversations that enrich and empower your life. And now, today's Life Talk Show. And our topic today is called Art, Express Yourself and Thrive. Hi, girls. How are you?
Oh, great. How are you, Mandy?
You know, we all noticed at lunch today that we're all the brown-eyed girls.
Oh, right. Wow.
We big brown eyes,
big brown
all three
eye,
of
big
us.
Big brown eyes. Okay.
Right.
So we have to, that's kind of marketing.
It's all good.
All right. So talking about visual arts, that's just something, you know, we've known each other for a long time, and we just noticed that we have very similar eyes. So that's part of what we're talking about today. In this world where so much seems to be about words, from Twitter to great literature to speaking on television to political speeches, a lot of times we express ourselves and we're judged by the way we use words in writing or in speaking or in test taking. And there's a whole part of our brain and our personalities that's a little, it's a different form of communication, and it can be visual arts, it can be performance arts, it can be dance, the way we express ourselves through our bodies. Or a lot of times I know when I listen to songs on the radio, if there's no words, I'm like, where's the words? And yet classical music, there are things in art that can give us such an amazing feeling and a mood that we can't necessarily put into words. And I know, Diana, you've been an art teacher in middle school, and I've taught drama. So let's talk about this for a bit. And then, by the way, let's just say we have three amazing guests today who are going to tell us about their journeys and the way that art made a huge difference for them.
Well, yes, I was an art teacher in middle school, and I really think that it's about how you express yourself, or the expression, the feeling that you have, the feeling that art elicits. And
like, what grade did you teach?
Well, I taught, oh gosh, 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th.
And you taught art, so what kind of stuff did you?
Well, I did teach art, and I also was a piano teacher as well. And we just
really,
yeah,
oh, that's right. You play piano,
right?
Wow.
Exactly. And I taught piano, and it's not just visual arts. Randy, and you and I had a brief conversation about that. It's not just the visual arts. Art is the way we express ourselves. And so as an art teacher, I know that I really felt it was important not to necessarily give my students very specific instruction for an art project.
So kind of let them, give them guidance and
let them
right.
lead.
Let because them express themselves.
Because it really is expression. Right. You know, express, as you know, themselves. I'm an interior designer. And every interior designer, you know, has their own little spin, their own little niche. But it's about expression. I know as an interior designer, and it's not for me just the end result of the space I'm designing. Mm-hmm. It's the process. I know emotionally how I get attached to projects. I know that certain choices that I make in the materials and the colors and the placement, it drives me. It brings out something in me. I joke, and when I pick
look at her
something
face light
that
up,
I
she talks about, I love
well,
it.
Yes. I you know, I pick something and I get almost like this feeling in my belly, like that's the right choice for this for this room.
It's and just it's not something you can put into words. It's just a feeling that you get. Curiosity. When you design a home, an atmosphere for somebody, and I know we're going to blog about this soon, but we're in the process of Nikki's redo of her home, which you were involved in. And they
were going on a budget.
But of course, she had to get to know you first. Do you get to know your clients and what their personalities are like and what sort of colors and things they respond to before you choose colors for their home?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I'll look at their environment and see where they're sort of, where their colors are, their color palette. But I also ask them what their favorite colors are. And I just asked both of you ladies at the beginning of the show, and I'm going to share something with you in a little bit having to do with color and your favorite colors. But I do try to get an idea of what colors inspire people. It's really important because what surrounds you is what
it can affect your mood in a way that you can't put into words.
Absolutely.
You know, I was sharing with you guys at lunch, and I don't know that much about visual art, and I would like to. It's on my to-do list to maybe take an art history course, because I think the more you understand something, the more you get out of it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But it's kind of like when it came to modern art, which was, look, a white square. Yeah, and of course, my first answer was, well, I could have done that. But that's not the point, is what I've learned. I actually did go, I was in a city, I had a full afternoon, I had some time, and I went to in Phoenix, a modern art museum, and I said, no, I'm just going to listen to the tour, and I'm going to learn. And it was an entire room of pictures that a two-year-old could do in my intellectual judgmental mode.
Absolutely.
But what the tour taught me was the art is also about how those colors made you feel. Like how different did you were part of the art, kind of. How different did you feel in front of the orange square versus the green square? And it really brought me to another part of myself. So share your tidbit, and then we're going to bring our first guest on.
Okay. Well, at the before the show started, I asked you ladies what your favorite colors are, because your favorite color really sort of reflects your personality. Nikki, who's our vivacious, full of energy co-host, is your favorite color is
deep red.
Okay. And so they say that people that love red, it's because it increases your enthusiasm and interest. You have more energy. Is that true, Randy, about Nikki?
And I don't think she sleeps.
Thanks, guys.
Action and confidence to go after your dreams. Absolutely. And protection from fears and anxiety. So that's why you gravitate towards red.
Okay. A quick question, though. So if red isn't your favorite color, but like my daughter, when she came home from college, she wanted to paint her room. And I think you've seen it. It is red. It's like red, like your eyeglass case. And so if I am not a red person, although I love red, but I, you know, wouldn't think to be in a red room, if I sit in her room, am I going to get more energy?
Well,
because I'll go sit there.
You have plenty of energy, well, Randy. You work 24/7, kiddo.
Yeah, well, the color red.
You do what you love.
Yeah, the color red really represents power and strength and passion. And
so you can pick it up if it's around.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's my question.
Oh, yes.
So they can actually affect your mood.
Yeah. Yes.
All right, cool. So blue, and then tell us your favorite color, and then we'll bring our guests.
Okay, so blue energy, and this is why you gravitate towards it, Randy. It's calm and relaxing to counteract chaos or agitation in your life.
Okay. I don't know. The second part's true.
This one's going to surprise everybody. It helps to open the flow of communication.
Well, because that's why she's such a good communicator.
It's my blue.
It's
okay.
Her thing.
Yeah.
Broadens your perspective in learning new information, and solitude and peace.
Wow.
So these are things I sometimes crave but never have. So maybe I need to do more blue. And what's your favorite color?
Well, my favorite color always has been pink. It creates calm feelings, neutralizes disorder, relaxation, acceptance, and contentment.
Beautiful.
All right. Awesome. So there's so much more to talk about this, and we're going to bring on our first guest, Guilford's artistic Johnny Appleseed. His name is Brendan Laughlin. He'll be coming on right after this little break.
This segment comes to you by Interiors by Diana, a full-service interior design firm specializing in residential and commercial renovations and design. Receive a complimentary consultation at interiorsbydiana.com. The best advice for better living. And by Penguin's Best Housekeeping Service, serving commercial and residential properties in the greater Fairfield County since 1994, specializing in property management for upscale residential estates. Visit us at penguinsbesthousekeepingservice.com. The Life Talk Show is sponsored by Champions Mentoring Program, who serves children and youth in the greater Bridgeport area who are impacted by the incarceration of a family member. A rewarding opportunity to enrich and inspire the life of a child and yours. Be a champion. Tina Bannis at familyreentry.org.
I won't dance.
Is it that you won't dance, or simply that you can't dance yet? It's easy to learn when someone shows you the way. At Fred Astaire Dance Studios in Trumbull, you'll learn to dance step by step and never sit on the sidelines again. Swing, foxtrot, samba, tango, singles and couples, all ages from children to seniors, we have a program for you. Ask about our wedding series, our kids program, group lessons, and more. Don't believe it? Try it for yourself this Wednesday night at our free guest party. Meet Henry, Chris, Monica, and the other instructors. Enjoy free champagne, and in no time, you'll be dancing. It's easy. We'll show you how. It's the most fun you'll ever have while getting exercise. Call 203-268-6588 now to reserve your place at our guest party this Wednesday, and you'll qualify for a special introductory rate on your first two private lessons. Or you can visit us at fadstrumbull.com. Fred Astaire Dance Studios in Trumbull. Get dancing. And we're back with the Life Talk Show. Our topic today is art. Express yourself and thrive. And beautiful. On the phone, we have our first guest. And Brendan Laughlin is Guilford's artistic Johnny Appleseed. Welcome, Brendan.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. So I have information about you here. It just says that you've planted landscapes that sprout everywhere. Can you tell us a little bit about what you... You're the modern-day Van Gogh, I guess.
Well, Yankee Magazine, that was their term. I painted downtown Guilford, all the gates and fences, and that's what happened. I've gotten a lot of publicity over it, so Yankee Magazine came, the editor, and stayed with me and did an article and wrote about the process in the January 8th issue of 2008. So it's online if anyone wanted to read it.
Where do they go, to yankeemagazine.com? Or?
Yes, yankeemagazine.com. The 2008 January, February issue, you can read about it. Yes, it was fun. You know, it's like I've never had an art lesson. I didn't start
really
until 53. And yet it's a new way of painting too.
Brendan, it's Nikki. Wanna say to our listeners that Brendan happens to be my dear friend, and I love and admire him. I want you to talk a little bit about Pastak, Brendan.
All right, a pastak is a different way of painting. It's done with soft pastels, which you can buy inexpensive in any art store, and a product called Bin, which you would buy in a hardware store. And what you do is you just take the soft pastels and you rub them on something rough, like a piece of sandpaper, and it makes like a cornstarch-type powder. And then you mix it with the Bin, and then it can go on anything. It can go on paper, it can go on canvas, it can go on masonite, it can go on glass. And you can create these beautiful colors. It's sort of like fresco. It has a fresco look to it.
And you have a patent on that?
There's really no patent on it. It's sort of like meatball stew. In other words, anyone could go and buy the product, and I did the local television shows to make sure no one... I offered it for free. I didn't want anyone to try and patent it. So, no, there's not a patent on it. The word pastak, I suppose, is copyrighted in the sense...
Yeah, but, copyrighted. And,
only because it's been published in different TV shows and magazines.
Yeah. Brendan, I have another question. Can you talk to us about your story? At some point in your life, you were homeless...
Yes. You know, I think the Lord delivered me through... I was 57 years old. I don't have a college degree, and I had gone through a horrible divorce and had lost pretty much everything. I was, for a while, I was with my mother, and when she went into the convalescent home, the house was auctioned off, and I found myself like, well, what are you going to do now? I had a business where I would spray paint kitchen cabinets, and that had folded. And so I had to start brand new, and luckily this thing with the art was there. And I think that's how the Lord delivers people sometimes. He gives us gifts that we don't even know about, and then it exploded, and I have done pretty well since that time.
I'm listening, and I've heard you say, this is what's sticking in my mind, you've never had an art lesson in your life. And somehow you went from spray painting cabinets to finding this gift. I mean, did you just wake up one day and say, "I'm really an artist"? Like, what is that leap? What's in that leap?
Yeah, I know it sounds strange. The leap is this: when I was married, I painted one T-shirt. My former wife we're doing T-shirts with her, my stepdaughter. And I said, I think I want to try that. And I was fascinated by it. And I did a tiger's head, and it came out really well. And it wasn't really a good marriage, which would lead to a divorce, and she wasn't happy, but it was in my mind. So eventually, after the divorce, when everything fell apart, I thought, I really want to paint. I know I can paint. I felt I could. And that's where, I guess, Randy, that's where the seed was planted when I was married and did this just one T-shirt. So it shows you that you never know in life. You can turn things around. There are seeds planted in everyone's lives that can turn things around.
Hi, Brendan. It's Diana. I'm just fascinated. You said you always knew that you could paint. How did you know? What was it that in you felt that you would be good at doing that?
I think, Diana, when I was a child, I used to draw all the time, up until about 12 or 13 years old. But it was a dysfunctional family in a town. There wasn't any art lessons up in it. It was Wallingford, Connecticut, and there wasn't anything going on. So anyway, I got married young and had children, but it was always there in the back of my mind how much I enjoyed it. It would never have occurred to me when I was 30 or 40 if someone had said, wow, someday you will be an artist. It never really would have occurred to me. It was just circumstances, how they develop.
I'm just inspired by you. And so you've never had any formal art training, but yet you're this famous artist, you're a teacher, an inventor, you even wrote a book. How did you find all these wonderful talents? How did they all come to be?
The book was written by one of the people I taught.
Joe Montgomery wrote the book.
Yeah, Mary Jo Montgomery. Okay. It's amazing. She had never painted either, and she had seen my work, and I taught her how to paint. And then she wanted to be a full-time writer. She's a corporate writer. She has 2 degrees in writing. So this was her first book, so that's how that happened. I don't know how it all happens. It's just step by step and putting one foot in front of the other. And I think trusting in God, there is a God, and trusting that that can happen and your life can change, and never giving up. Just keep putting one foot in front of the other, and that's all I can say. I don't know any other answer but that.
That's a great answer, you know, because we've done a lot of shows on goal setting, and we did a show on self-help books, and there's the you must have a goal and take steps toward the goal, and then sometimes you just keep taking steps and the forest reveals itself, you know?
Yes.
It sounds like that's what it did for you. So would you say that in a way art kind of saved you and made you thrive?
Yes. Oh, yes. It's, when you're feeling down, it's sort of like music, the same thing. When you're really feeling low and you put a blank canvas in front of you and you think about beauty and you create something, all your troubles just seem to fade away. And yes, it heals me. It's always there. It's always on my mind. And I'm always thinking about painting. So yes.
That is so wonderful. Your story is so inspiring. So, and I let people know that BrendanLaughlin.com is your website. Brendan, and your last name is spelled LOUGHLIN. And they can see samples of your work there, I would imagine.
Yes, they could.
Okay. And the book is called Laughlin, also written by Mary Jo Montgomery. Is that on Amazon?
We had it on Amazon for a while, but right now you can buy it through the website.
Okay, wonderful. And the subtitle of that is One Man's Journey to Redemption Through Art. We have about 30 seconds left. Any last-minute things you'd like to say? We're just so delighted to have heard your story. I'd love to spend 3 hours hearing more.
Just be tenacious and never give up and never lose faith and always understand that there is a God and that he loves you and he cares for you and he'll watch over you.
That is awesome. Thank you so much.
Brendan, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Brendan.
Okay,
thank you.
Thank you so much. The topic is art, express yourself, and thrive. In a moment, we're going to speak with Jacmaine and ES, who are graffiti artists, urban art, and we'll be right back with the Life Talk Show.
If your son was diagnosed with schizophrenia, would you give up
or fight.
One out of every four families deals with a major mental illness. One out of four. Mental illnesses rank first among illnesses that cause disability in the U.S., Canada, and
Why
Western Europe.
Why is no
Europe?
One talking about it?
Randy Kay is talking about it. Then behind his voices, one family's journey from the chaos of schizophrenia to hope. There is hope. Publishers Weekly calls it a must read. Available on Amazon, hardcover, audiobook, and e-reader. Looking for a realtor who really cares about where you live next and has a passion for helping you find your next home? This segment of the Life Talk Show is brought to you by Alexandra Herman, RE/MAX Realtor with a passion for putting you in your next Connecticut home. Just ask for Allie at RE/MAX Right Choice in the Milford office and on her Facebook page, Alexandra Herman Realtor. Buy or sell your home with Alexandra Herman. And we're back with the Life Talk Show. We're talking about art, express yourself, and we have special guests in the studio who, Jacquemain began his career as an artist in the form of graffiti or urban art, and he's brought along E.S., who's a 20-year graffiti artist. So, guys, welcome to the Life Talk Show.
Welcome, guys.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Thank you so much. So how did you come to be on the show? Nikki just said, we're bringing in Jacquemain and E.S. Where did you find them?
Well, I happened to be reading the Connecticut Cottages and Garden magazine.
Okay.
And also we live in Bridgeport, and this show, I live in Bridgeport, and this show is aired in Bridgeport, and all the walls downtown Bridgeport, they have graffiti. And I love it.
A beautiful graffiti. Yeah.
Beautiful, gorgeous graffiti.
Is there a difference? Like, do you call it something? You call it graffiti art? Or, like, if somebody
art.
Just sprays, you know, Joe was here. Yeah. That's not art, yeah. Correct?
Well, I mean, graffiti in the word in itself is, what does it mean?
Right.
Writing on the surface.
Okay.
Graffiti, vandalism, the way it started has evolved now to guys like us that we're, you know, we're 20 years deep in the game now. Yeah. It's evolved into art, and it's nice to see that people are recognizing it as a legitimate art form now, you know?
That's
great. I think it's more the evolution, you know? I mean, maybe Joe got into graffiti by just writing his name, but hopefully he'll evolve as an artist and then become, you know, a great artist. So it depends on how you look at it, really.
Yeah, well, I want to look at it differently because I've passed certain. Now, are you guys responsible for the Bridgeport cool graffiti that we see?
Is that your work?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we're actually part of the committee that organized the whole, you know, urban beautification of downtown Bridgeport. Yes.
Thank you.
I don't know if you've seen the P.T. Barnum wall that we did down there.
Yeah.
P.T. Barnum bust.
It's right at the Pocket Park, right at Main and Gold Street.
Okay. Oh yes.
That was our work right there.
Yeah, that was like a catalyst mural, and then the year after that, we sort of expanded the whole program to include other walls that are on Main Street and the side streets. Yeah.
So who are your artists, and how do they like? I know nothing, so I'm just totally ignorant. So this amazing mural, which must have taken. Like you said, you're on a committee, planning.
Yeah.
It's not the same as, I'm going to spray paint this bridge so that people know I'm somebody.
Right. Yeah.
You know, there's a lot more to it. It's evolved, as you said.
Like speaking about the evolution, you want to look at the artists themselves, okay? You know, the product can be, you know, on a wall. It can be anywhere, I mean. But why does the kid go out and write his name? He wants to be known as somebody, you know? And in an urban setting where all you have around you is graffiti, that's the first thing they're going to attach themselves to. But you know what I mean? As the years go by, you know, they realize either they have a talent or they don't.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you get the in-between graffiti that you don't know. It could be a 10-year-old kid that defaced the whole entire property, $10,000. It could be a grown man. But that's the thing. Look at the artist, you know, and I guess see where they're coming from, and that can kind of explain to you what graffiti is. I mean, I guess maybe to that individual. But
it's... I feel it's graffiti the way I understand from Jacquemain and
yes.
Yes, is a way of expressing yourself in an area that you know you really need to stand out, to say what you feel and how you feel. I mean, whether it is poverty, whether it is challenges in life, and you do it in a way that inspires people. That's how I see it. But comment on this, Jacquemain.
Yeah, I mean, not to go into a whole history of graffiti, but I mean, graffiti itself comes out of an environment where, you know, people were looking for outlets to express themselves. I mean,
we all need that.
Yeah,
we all need that.
Definitely. I mean, some people debate. They say, you know, graffiti started, you know, in the caves as cave paintings and all that. But,
you know, modern day, and contemporary graffiti really more so evolved out of, you know, the Bronx and Philadelphia, you know, at times where a lot of social programs and a lot of, you know, urban blight and things were happening, and the people that lived in these areas were looking for outlets to express themselves. And out of that, you know, became what are really known as writers. You know, a lot of graffiti artists label themselves as writers because we
you practice, write your story.
Yeah, you write your story, you write your name, and you develop as an artist.
So, Jermaine, do you think that, you know, it sounds like within your philosophy that art is for all people. Do you feel that everybody has a place in the art world?
Oh, definitely, definitely, definitely. I mean, I tell, you know, I have a 3-year-old daughter and a 5-year-old daughter, and they, I mean, they're already saying that they're artists. And, you know, I think it's just a form of expression. I think as soon as you start expressing yourself, you're an artist, whether you like it or not.
I love that. That's really – now, here's something as – I'm an urban girl too. Mm-hmm. Grew up in New York.
Okay.
And to me, an issue is permission.
Yeah.
So Joe, that we spoke about before, did not have permission to take that spray can of paint and put his name over the stop sign.
Yeah.
And that's very, it's expression, but it's expression that also destroys something that's necessary. So that's the parent in me. And I'm sure if your children wanted to write their name on a stop sign, you wouldn't have them do it.
Yeah.
So at what point... what's the process from getting from I'm going to put my name anywhere I want to let's beautify the city and take this empty wall and make a Barnum mural? And there's permission involved, there's planning involved. It's the same but different, right?
Well, I think, you know, if I can, I think the thing is to separate the two, because that kid writing his name on the stop sign is the same thing as a kid breaking a window walking down the street, you know. You can't even classify that as art. That's more of an act of vandalism, you know. Now that graffiti, the word that we're using to describe the art that we use, has evolved to this level, now, you know, everybody can be a little more accepting now and insert that art into, like, a beautification program. You know what I mean?
So, yes, you're saying, you know, where graffiti had a negative connotation, together you've made it be something very positive and beautiful.
And I think wonderful. You call it urban art. Urban art? Is that how you call it?
There's a lot of labels to it. You know
yes.
I mean? There's a lot of ways you can call it. But, yeah, we are saying that this is where we came from, you know. Look at us. We're artists as well. We're human beings that evolved artistically. This is what we do. This is we landed here somehow.
And to the point where, I mean, you've been internationally displayed and locally.
Yeah,
but you don't have to be internationally displayed to be an artist. But you are.
Yeah.
So that's cool, too.
Yeah.
You know. And you have artofjachmaine.com.
Yes. Yeah,
so you certainly have evolved in terms of, I guess, the acceptability. And the work I see is beautiful. I know Nikki's dying to ask a question, so I'll table mine, but it has to do with mentoring young kids and what do you tell them when they go, oh, I want to be an artist too. So,
I just want to ask a question concerning tattoo artists, concerning graffiti artists, concerning, like, I know we're talking about art in general. Let's say the music, when, what do you call that?
You're not giving us too much to go on.
Okay, no, I just went blank about the people that they
rap.
And I find all the
R word.
Sorry, guys, but I went blank. So I'm thinking that maybe that's too much wine for lunch. But I'm thinking this. I know. The rap, the graffiti, tattoo artists. I mean, I feel strongly that this is the way that express yourself through art and thrive through it because it empowers you. Comment on this, both of you guys, Jahmin and ES.
Well, I think that's really like a key point that I want to hit on. I mean, graffiti art and, you know, art of graffiti, a lot of people have sort of, you know, defined as one element of hip-hop culture, and rap itself is one element of hip-hop culture. So you have rap or hip-hop, rapping, breakdancing, graffiti, and, you know, so there's elements to a much larger culture, and all of this really developed out of not having, you know, and people finding or looking for outlets to express themselves, and this is, you know, what all this comes out of.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because there used to be things like blues singing and tap dancing that used to be like
jazz,
and like everybody's sort of taking it over, and left?
Graffiti, you know, all this, the hip hop movement is as American as jazz.
Of
know,
course.
It was created here. This is what a product of this environment.
And the environment.
You know
what I mean? Yeah.
And now, you know, graffiti has taken us to our levels. We could feed our families. Now, I mean, I went from a graffiti writer to a tattoo artist. I was fortunate enough to be a contestant on a national television program on Spike TV called Ink Master.
Wow, really?
Yeah, it was just on this last Tuesday. Yeah.
How impressive.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So, you know, with graffiti, it's what started me, you know, and I can say graffiti saved my life. Yeah. You know, if not,
can you say more about that? How did it save your life? Where were you before it, and how did it transform you?
I mean, okay, it's like tadpoles swimming upstream, you know, it's like, you know, only some of them are going to make it, you know? Mm-hmm. And in the hood, quote unquote, I'll let, you know, some kids fall, you know, victims to becoming a drug dealer. They have no choice. They have no way to make money. Mm-hmm. I was fortunate enough, maybe I could airbrush some T-shirts, sell them $10, $15 a piece, make some money to eat. You know what I mean? You know, and everybody comes up with these certain family situations and struggles and stuff. Yeah. But somehow I'm still here. My friends, many of them,
not so much.
Dead,
yeah,
and, you know, in jail. Drug
there's a moment of choice too, isn't there? I mean, I know Russell Simmons talks a lot about his journey and
absolutely. I mean,
from almost dead to like, wait a minute, I don't have to do what all my friends are doing.
You've seen it, Bridgeport, Connecticut. Okay, you know, this place has had some challenges.
Yes,
you know
what I mean? To say the least.
Exactly.
To say the least.
So,
and some beautiful things as well.
Absolutely.
I mean, I really think Believe in Bridgeport. I'm telling you, the city's going to come up, and you guys are part of it.
BPT hat live.
Yeah.
National TV. The crowd went crazy.
Yeah.
And everybody.
Really?
Yeah, believe
and
me.
It's international at this point. I mean, and you know, similar story. I mean, my introduction to art was going back and forth to New York as a child, 8, 9, 10 years ago, seeing graffiti on the walls, and that inspired me to then start practicing and doing it myself. You know, from that led into, you know, similar thing to, you know, starting my own clothing company, which is Culture Designs.
Yeah.
To, you know, doing major gallery shows, to traveling the world, doing art and doing clothing, you know, from growing up
and
in the projects in Connecticut.
And also, I was impressed because I went to one of your shows because you guys have galleries and you have gallery openings and I went to one of them and you guys actually paint on top of the Metro North maps,
and
that stuff is for sale, like for thousands of dollars. Yeah, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. I mean, graffiti is definitely
impressive,
evolved and as you can see, becoming really, you know, a major force in the world of art. I mean, not just, you know, on a lower, you know, urban level, but I mean, even just recently, a Basquiat piece, which, you know, Jean-Michel started out as a graffiti artist and then, you know, evolved into a fine artist. But, I mean, one of his pieces, I think it was titled Dust Heads, just sold for something like $35 million.
Oh, my God.
You know, and this is going from him just, you know,
how do you sell a piece of graffiti? Because you have to move the building, don't you?
Well, that's why I'm saying that they come up with creative ways of painting that it's free because it's
very
like
true.
The Metro North map. It's free and they give them free. So they paint on top of that or on top of a toilet seat
to their
cover.
Places. It's like a commission to create a piece of
amazing
art where people
how
want
creative
it to
they
be.
Are.
Diana.
I mean, and clearly,
we have about 2 minutes left. So
well, you know, and I just really
too
more
short
of a comment than a question, but clearly you both have some incredible talent. But there's really just the will and the drive and the motivation behind it. I'm sitting here saying, wow.
I can just basically say, really, we have nothing else. I mean, you know, we can go and try to get a job 9 to 5 somewhere else, so go sign an application. But this is what's brought us here to this point. So why give up on that?
Yeah,
this is what works. You know, this is
we're
drive
in the same boat. I mean, we
absolutely
each run our own business.
Yeah,
and, you know, it's because we said, well, what can I do? I guess I can do that. Maybe people will pay me to do it.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
in my case, it's
you've
talking.
Been doing it for
so,
long,
doing it
you're
for
good
so
at
long.
It, you're sharp. You know, you know how to do this. I mean,
and it's really about your passion, you know, and passion, especially as graffiti artists. I mean, and that's how we link up with each other. It's like we both have similar passions and this is what we do. I mean, something has to drive you to go out in the middle of the night and create. People think it's just to vandalize things, but no, it's a passion to be creative and to express yourself.
Not if there's caring in it. So one last question for you. Do you find yourself being mentors for younger kids who might go the wrong way, but you
always
show them how?
Always.
Yeah.
I mean, kids always
were they involved in that mural in any way?
Absolutely.
Or?
We try to have the kids help out, however, whether if it's just carrying a bucket of paint here and there, they just want to be there and involved.
Be a part of it.
Yeah, and absolutely. You know, I've mentored, you know, several kids. I've taught several, you know, community mural projects with community centers in my area, Stanford, Norwalk. I mean, we're constantly naturally mentoring, you know, the people around us.
Yeah, you know, actually right now we're trying to revitalize a spot called Fame City behind the Burger King on Boston Avenue.
I heard about that.
That
project
is an actual international crossroad for artists. I mean, you've got people from Germany, France, Africa, Japan have painted there. They come to Bridgeport to paint graffiti.
Bridgeport. Okay.
Go so Bridgeport.
If you guys want to know more about that, hit up Jermaine, go to his website. Yeah. You know, we're all doing this together, so please, I mean, if whoever's hearing this, help us out however you can.
We'll put the link on our website as well, and it's Art of You spelled it wrong, Nikki. Okay. J-H-M-A-N-E, but you spelled it wrong on the thing. Yeah. Okay. Artofjockmaine.com. And
you can find me ESTattoos.com.
Oh, good. ES Tattoos.
You can find me Instagram, Facebook, all that, social media,
great.
Twitter.
Awesome. Yeah. So we're talking about how express yourself through art and thrive, but it's sometimes what I'm learning today is art, express yourself, and it might save your life.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Thank you for being our guest. We'll be right back with Frida Howling on the Life Talk Show.
This segment comes to you by Interiors by Diana, a full-service interior design firm specializing in residential and commercial renovations and design. Receive a complimentary consultation at interiorsbydiana.com. The best advice for better living. And by Penguin's Best Housekeeping Service, serving commercial and residential properties in the greater Fairfield County since 1994. Specializing in property management for upscale residential estates, visit us at penguinsbesthousekeepingservice.com. The Life Talk Show is sponsored by Champions Mentoring Program, who serves children and youth in the greater Bridgeport area who are impacted by the incarceration of a family member. A rewarding opportunity to enrich and inspire the life of a child and yours. Be a champion. Tina Bannis at familyreentry.org. And we're back with the Life Talk Show. We're talking about art, express yourself, and thrive. And sometimes, as we're learning, it can save your life as well. Our next guest is Frida Howling. Her work is a lot very nature-based and has had many solo shows, including one held recently in Munich and Berlin and Germany, and many private collections as well. And Frida says that, Frida, hello. I'm going to let you tell us about nature being the primary focus of your work. Welcome to the Life Talk Show.
Hello, how are you?
We're great. How are you?
Fine.
I'm Randy. You're here with Nikki and Diana. We have Jacmaine and ES also. They're graffiti artists, urban art, and we're just all talking about the power of art in your life.
Welcome, Frida. Good to have you.
Thank you very much.
So tell us a little bit about your work and what you do and the theme of nature in your work.
Well, as I said, I always think that people, especially artists are kind of restless people. We like to travel, visit, and think international cultures and expose us to nature, trees, caves, and signs. All of these are areas that I'm very interested in. So most of my work is in fact, earlier I always worked very difficult because they were more for artists, I think, because I have certain ones that are very, very 80 inches is quite tall, and they have one that it's called the Corinth Canal. I've been through the canal, in Greece, and it's so fascinating to see how it works when you look right straight through. It's just straight.
So you know, I'd love to hear a little. Thank you so much for that information. And, you know, without, since this is a radio show and we can't really see your work, which puts us at a bit of a disadvantage, I'd love to know a little bit more about your story. You know, we've talked a lot on the Life Talk show about we each have different gifts, and sometimes we have to open our eyes to our gifts and use them to give back to the world in some way. And I remember dating a guy once who was an artist. This is a weird story, but I'm going somewhere with it. And so it was fascinating. It was one date, we were done. But it was very interesting because I'm more of an audio person, and we were just taking a walk, like you said, and he was noticing like shapes of trees and the way the light would hit certain things. And this is something my eye would never, not tuned into that. And then we went to a shoe store and he bought shoes because they were pretty to look at, which was a whole other story. But anyway.
Hence the one date, Randy.
Hence the one date. But my point is he was just
telling you right now I'm doing a painting, and I'm really working on trees because trees are just so fascinating. They go different ways and they have various kinds of areas, and I do look at trees very differently. I look at them because they're different shapes. And sometimes I've used shapes like even rectangles, which represent maybe the difference of a whale, instead of a whale, it's a difference of just a shape, which is not really.
Yeah. Okay. Diana has a question.
Well, Frida, so you're talking about trees as your inspiration and helping to feed your imagination. And, you know, you think of a tree, and a tree represents something very strong and very powerful.
Right.
So in that, you probably, you have used a lot of color and texture in your paintings, but more recently, you are expressing yourself in black and white. And when we think about black and white and reflecting mood and representing power and edginess and purity and simplicity, are any of those reasons for your choice in doing art in black and white as opposed to color?
Well, I do. I did a lot of boxes. They're like boxes. I don't know. Are you familiar with Cornell's boxes? They're like boxes, and inside. And that's when I use...
No, none of us know what you're talking about.
Boxes. That's interesting.
Okay. I think if we go to your website, fridahowling.com, a lot of people can probably see samples of that. I'm curious about your life story. Like, when did you know you wanted to be an artist? And how has art and being an artist shaped your life? We've spoken with three other people today, and art really helped them to thrive and find their gifts. And our first guest got out of homelessness because of his interest in art. And we have some wonderful urban artists here, graffiti artists. So when did you know you wanted to be an artist? And how did that evolve for you?
Well, I was an artist in college. I was I was an artist in college, and therefore I just kept thinking art all the time. So when I came out of college, of course, there wasn't quite the idea that I could do something with it right at the moment to earn money. So I went to a related field in fashion.
Ah, so you went interior design?
No, fashion.
Fashion design. Oh, okay. I've done fashion design.
Yeah. So what happened after that? Did that support you for a while?
Soon after I got married, and we went straight over to the Middle East.
Oh.
We lived in Saudi Arabia.
Wow.
And in Lebanon. And so naturally, that was a wonderful thing, and I started. So I went into teaching, and taught at a college in Lebanon.
Wow,
Beirut. And therefore,
I'm happy it was not now, but it was then, when Beirut was really like the Paris of Middle East.
It was really like the Paris, and it was very interesting, and I got all kinds of art inspirations there, because I interviewed about 44 different people, and I wrote a book about the artists there, which happened to be just the time that they started getting their abstract period.
Interesting. Wow, so you definitely affected. We only have a couple of minutes, and we're trying to focus here also on how art can help our young people to find gifts that may not be recognized in other ways. So our last question is, well, first of all, we know your website. People can see more of your work at fridahowling.com, and that link will be on our website, thelifetalkshow.com. But what I'd like to ask you is, what advice would you give to a young person who wanted to succeed as an artist? Would you give me one piece of advice that you would share?
Well, certainly they have to be very... They have to see things and see everything differently. They have to show that they have the interest in people and also the shapes, looking at everything in a distance and looking at it more abstractly than having it, you know.
So in brief, you have to have a talent.
Yes,
well, I'm also hearing you need to see...
But you also earn the talent when you learn your how to look at things.
I would say that E.S. and Jacquemain would agree with that. You have to earn your talent and earn your way to making money at the thing you love to do. And I love what you said about having to see things on different perspectives. One last question from Diana and Nikki, and then thank you.
Well, it's more of a comment about art and how art really teaches life skills to children, communication skills, problem solving, social skills. There's so many other things that are spun off of just the art that's being created.
Absolutely. So in a moment, we'll actually come back, and we're going to explore that topic a little bit more with all our guests that are in studio as well, because I'd like you to be thinking during this quick 60-second commercial break from our sponsors, why is it important that we keep art in its various forms, music, drama, visual art, in schools as part of the curriculum?
Well, absolutely. I think it's very important that artists are definitely exposed to art in school.
Absolutely. Frida, thank you so much for being part of our show. We really appreciate you being here. We'll be right back with the Life Talk
Show. Thank you, Frida.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Bye-bye.
I won't dance. Don't ask me.
Is it that you won't dance or simply that you can't dance yet? It's easy to learn when someone shows you the way. At Fred Astaire Dance Studios in Trumbull, you'll learn to dance step by step and never sit on the sidelines again. Swing, foxtrot, samba, tango, singles and couples, all ages from children to seniors, we have a program for you. Ask about our wedding series, our kids program, group lessons, and more. Don't believe it? Try it for yourself this Wednesday night at our free guest party. Meet Henry, Chris, Monica, and the other instructors. Enjoy free champagne, and in no time, you'll be dancing. It's easy. We'll show you how. It's the most fun you'll ever have while getting exercise. Call 203-268-6588 now to reserve your place at our guest party this Wednesday, and you'll qualify for a special introductory rate on your first two private lessons. Or you can visit us at fadstrumbull.com. Fred Astaire Dance Studios in Trumbull. Get dancing. If your son was diagnosed with schizophrenia, would you give up or fight? One out of every four families deals with a major mental illness. One out of four. Mental illnesses rank first among illnesses that cause disability in the U.S., Canada, and Western Europe.
Why is no one talking about it?
Randy Kay is talking about it. Then Behind His Voices, one family's journey from the chaos of schizophrenia to hope. There is hope. Publishers Weekly calls it a must-read. Available on Amazon, hardcover, audiobook, and e-reader.
Looking for a realtor who really cares about where you live next and has a passion for helping you find your next home? This segment of the Life Talk Show is brought to you by Alexandra Herman, RE/MAX Realtor with a passion for putting you in your next Connecticut home. Just ask for Allie at RE/MAX Right Choice in the Milford office and on her Facebook page, Alexandra Herman Realtor. Buy or sell your home with Alexandra Herman.
And we're back with the Life Talk Show. Our topic today is art. Express yourself and thrive. And so right before the break, we were talking, the leading question is in this economy, in many economies, it seems like the first teacher to go is the drama teacher, the art teacher, the dancing teacher. And we've all agreed here, because we're all artists in a way, that this is an important part. Not every kid. We talked in the past about multiple intelligences when we did our show on Educating the Whole Child. Mm-hmm. Not every child is going to thrive necessarily in the words category, in the test taking. And right. Of course, it's important to read. We all get that. But there's so many more parts to who we are and what we do. And so let's talk about that. How important is it that we keep art in the schools and use it to mentor our children and help them to develop their potential?
I mean, I think it's very important. I mean, not just because I'm an artist, but even just in modes of learning. And, you know, you have the whole right, left brain, you know, theory. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been proven that, you know, the more creative you are in the learning process, the more you're able to learn. You know, I think art pretty much opens the door for that, you know, and it creates the atmosphere to where, you know, while you're learning it, you know, it makes what you're learning fun, it sticks to your brain, and it just, you get a lot more out of it. So I think arts are essential to any type of learning.
I agree. So is play while we're at it. Oh, you know, when they keep cutting recess, and that's a whole other show for another time. Yeah. But I taught drama in a school for 3rd through 8th graders, mm-hmm. and it was a requirement, which I thought was kind of cool. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like the drama kids take drama. But, you know, not everybody wants to be on stage, and drama and those performance arts are not always about being on stage and the attention. It's about improv and reacting quickly and finding that, and not judging yourself and reacting creatively and looking differently at people who do want to perform for a living because you've tried to do it yourself and you see what goes into it. Like you say, you've got to earn your talent. I like what Frieda said about that. And you guys certainly have earned your success in a field that a lot of people would see as vandalism in their kid.
Yes.
And yet you found a way to mentor children to make it useful to the city to beautify.
You see, they're true artists as far as I'm concerned.
You realize when these kids start coming at you and they start really asking so many questions, you could tell they need a mentor. You know what I mean? They need somebody to look up to because their mind is thinking art. You know, when the government or, you know, whoever takes things out of the school system, for example, art, like you said, is the first thing to go, you're leaving out a whole section of kids that think differently, you know, right brain, left brain, you know what I mean? So, I mean, it's our job to make it aware somehow or another, you know, to, you know, we got to keep these things in the school because you obviously, you know, you'll be leaving all, you wonder why you have problem kids in school that don't have, you know, they have behavioral things and social problems, you know what I mean?
Right, exactly. Now, Diana, you've taught pretty much everything on the middle school level, so maybe you can talk about that as well.
Well, no, I have, and yes, you're absolutely right. As a middle school teacher, I mean, we know that they're all different types. There's three main types of learners: auditory, visual, kinesthetic. Mm-hmm. But we all have a little bit of each one of those components. Mm-hmm. And to touch upon, with art, your work, fine motor skills, as I said, communication and emotional, and all of those things that play a part, really build the whole child. And that's what we're talking about, is building the whole child.
And it's important to consider art in many forms, as Randy said previously, that it comes in many forms. Like, art can be music. Mm-hmm. And I remember I mentored a little girl, and the organization had a music performance, and her eyes lit, and she started taking lessons with this guy. I made arrangements because she loved it. She found the music was speaking to her.
It's a connection thing.
I've had a situation where, you know, I walked into probably they call it the behavior, the bad kids. You know,
tell us more.
The teachers wonder why they are. They just, when I start speaking, they just focus. They're entranced into what I'm saying because, you know, art being that vehicle, they understand, oh, this guy relates to us somehow.
You're making it relatable, absolutely.
And I'm, yeah.
And you know, you got to, you know, whoever it is, got to, has to utilize us. You know, we're out there. We're willing to help out. You know what I mean?
So, which is great. Have you seen a kid's eyes light up when he starts working with you guys?
Definitely. I've had similar situations where, you know, I was doing a community, you know, mural project, and they sort of made it a point to give me what they consider the bad kids because they couldn't do anything with them. So they're like, well, let's see what you can do with them. And, I mean, within, like, a few seconds of just finding out who I was and seeing what we were going to do, they all became good kids. They all became like, wow, you know, how can I help? What can I do? I mean, you can see them light up. And, you know, it goes back to that right brain, left brain thing. Like, you can see their minds almost open up and want to learn and want to be a part of what we were doing.
And that's so great. And we all have different ways we want to express ourselves. There is something in this area that Fairfield, right, the name escapes me right now, Fairfield Theater Follies or something. Mm-hmm. It's a show that high school students can be in, but they gather from everywhere, Bridgeport, the urban areas, mm-hmm. as well as the suburban mm-hmm. areas. Mm-hmm. And it's been going on for many years. And the director of it says for a lot of the kids, particularly in the urban areas, it's the first time they've ever had a chance to be with those suburban, exactly, you know, yeah. And they say, wow, it's the first time I ever thought that suburban kids were cool. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, and just being, but the thing, and what I'm hearing you also is like this teamwork.
Yeah.
You know, they're not asked to go over there and paint a picture and I'll judge it. It's they're bringing
Let's
you
Let's work together.
Yeah.
A long time ago, there's no I in team. Yeah.
There's no I in team.
That's true. And that's a good way
And what's
of
a kid to do if you know, academically they're going to get by because they work hard, but it's not their thing as much and they're not sports.
Yeah.
Then exactly. What's left?
Exactly.
Because nobody seems to cut the sports programs.
No, not at all.
All right, so we want to definitely keep the arts in schools, and we have a minute left, so let's each just go around and share one tip you'd like to leave us with. Jacquemain?
Stay creative. You know, I think like when the caller said earlier, never give up on your talent and constantly evolve and love what you do, most of all.
Love it.
Yes.
Nikki?
Art is food for the soul.
Terrific. Nice. Yes?
Just be creative, you know, never stop pushing the limits and never give up because it's your dream, you know.
Great.
Art Deco design applied to your home can be modern and a glamorous touch.
Okay, so art can come in all kinds of forms. And I just say sometimes we have to express visually what words cannot say. Mm-hmm. We're multifaceted. Thank you so much for being our guests.
Thank you.
This is the Life Talk Show.
You've been listening to the Life Talk Show on WDJZ-AM. If you have an idea for a future topic, would like to be a guest or a sponsor of our show, or just tell us what you think, please email us at info@thelifetalkshow.com. Our Twitter handle is @LifeTalkShow, and our Facebook page is The Life Talk Show, sharing ideas for meaning, joy, and success. The Life Talk Show with Randy, Diana, and Nikki on WDJZ-AM every Saturday at 4. The Life Talk Show. Join us.